Hello, everyone, and welcome to the big show. And oh my God, I'm assuming that we are not even going to be on the rails today. Just a hunch. Did I say I'm Jeff Gamet? I don't know. It's
nope.
Okay. Hey, I'm Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host because Ewan actually has a life and has been incredibly busy and just simply has not been able to be here with us, even though he has the mobile recording studio, the mobile command center. That's how busy he is. And I mentioned it last week, but I'm going to mention it again. Congratulations, Ewan, on winning the Rail Award. That is so fracking awesome. You rock, and you totally deserve it. Also, you look damn fine in a tuxedo. Just saying. Yeah. Okay, we have a crazy awesome panel today. And we'll start with someone that I literally don't think I've ever seen in my entire life. And I have absolutely no idea who you are. Atlee, it's great to see you again. How are you doing?
Yeah, sorry. I've been underneath the rocks in Nova Scotia for a while. I've been pretty busy. It's great to be back. I miss you guys. How have you guys been? Good, I hope.
We've been doing our best to soldier on without you.
Aw, yeah, because it matters.
Well, you know, and I'd like to point out we actually have been soldiering on.
Yes.
But seriously, it's great to see you again. And when you popped up before the show started and that you were with your red glasses, my first thought was, oh, I've really been missing the red glasses.
That's what it is. It's people don't miss me. They miss my dogs. They miss my red glasses. It's
right.
All the adjacent things. Yeah.
Yeah. And your dog is no longer, last time we spoke, your dog was spraying blood all over the room every time she shook. That's over?
Yeah, that's over. Sure. Her tail has started to heal. It's a long process. Takes a few months, but her tail's healing nicely.
Excellent. The sliver of class that we have on the show, Patrice. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really, really well. I'm getting ready for my vacation. So a bit busy at work, but it's all good. Time just keeps running away from me. Like, that's why. Yeah.
Well, it's great to have you here as always. Mm-hmm. And
I won't be here next week. So.
Yay!
Do you want to go wait in the car? This is the second time.
Time keeps running away from Patrice, but just like Steven's victims keep running away from him.
Yeah, that explains a lot. Yeah. Yes. Next week we start half an hour late for the big show, and that's all on me. And I could just leave it as this mysterious thing, but instead I'll just tell everyone it's no big deal. I have an eye checkup in the morning, and there's a chance that I just won't be able to get back in time for our regular start time. So we're starting half an hour late, which means that that I will be doing the show with
two eyes instead.
Oh, huh. No, I've never bothered to count. So yeah, I never know how many eyes I'll have on any given show. But because I will have come home from the eye doctor, the likelihood I will be able to clearly see my screen is very limited. So I have no idea what I'll really be clicking on next week throughout the show. I can't wait to see how this goes.
Don't worry, we'll all hold fingers up so that you can count how many and see if you can see them properly.
It'll be perfect. It'll be awesome. Yeah. So anyhow, Patrice, as always, great to have you here. And
thanks.
Rich, I said before the show that I absolutely love your shirt, but I want it recorded. So I'm saying it again. I absolutely love your shirt.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. How bad is it that when you said you were going for an eye checkup, my brain said, I didn't know Apple were doing health checkups now.
Oh, I have to get that shirt. That is fantastic. I didn't notice it till he said it, but I have to have one of those shirts. That is amazing.
It was a random off the internet one. I have no link to share, I'm afraid.
Because that could have been all be jealous of my cool t-shirt. That's fantastic.
I'm betting a quick Google search for hard Dalek, cold Dalek shirt will find that.
Already found it.
See?
Oh, awesome.
See?
Yeah.
I'm guessing about $30 for the shirt. Now you see, this is quality programming right here.
Oh right, oh yeah,
it is, isn't it? This is good audio content.
This is good audio content right there. Someone searching for a thing on the internet while he hums nice. I'm generally
right. So, I assume you're doing well, Rich.
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I had a night out the other night for the first time in years after a pandemic, and it was lots of fun. But I found out that I'm quite old now, and if I drink anything at all, it takes me a day to recover now. So that's a little bit depressing, but
yeah, you are.
There it
yeah.
is. Yeah.
Oh, you like my cool thing then? You're going to need my cool thing.
Why am I so worried when you say you're going to like my cool thing? I don't.
And then when you I start just doing one of his cool things, like I'm already worried. Maybe we just won't do cool things this week just to be safe. Yeah. Ian, how are you doing today?
I'm doing very well, sir. Very, very well. Usual busy week for me. I'm teaching this week, so I've had a class of people from mostly UK this week, with a couple from where were they? Guy in Qatar, one in Kenya, some Ghanaian bankers again. We all seem to get people from the IT department. If I got a large Ghanaian bank, I think it must be going through the whole department. I have two or three on every class. They seem to all sit there noisily in the background with all sorts going. I have to mute them every 10 minutes, but otherwise it's fine. And yeah, it's all good fun for the last remaining days of the class. So yeah, I'm fine.
Awesome. Well, I like your shirt too.
Yeah, I've got Lord of the Rings going on.
Yeah, so the reference on your shirt and the combined reference on Richard's shirt, these are not lost on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I'm actually kind of failing at wardrobe today because by chance I'm just wearing a blank t-shirt. So I need to step up my game. And
really you do look attention. A little bit headless in there, you know.
I didn't know
you do look a bit well the opposite of headless, bodiless, really, torsoless, to be honest. You are a disembodied head.
Yeah, if I were to
nearly headless neck going on.
It's actually almost like dealing with Holly from Red Dwarf.
Yeah, a little bit.
You know, I'm kind of liking the Holly reference. Let's go with that.
Yeah, go with it.
Yeah. If I turn off the backlights.
You will be disembodied head in the distance. That'd be fantastic. Yeah, Holly.
Yeah.
Actually, I think you look more like Queeg.
Now, I don't get the Queeg reference. So,
the series. Well, when Holly was playing a trick on him, he turned into a character called Queeg and made him do all sorts of naughty stuff.
Oh, I forgot about that. Okay, it's been a while, and it actually takes effort, or at least it used to watch Red Dwarf in the U.S. because you had to catch episodes on public broadcast on PBS at weird random times. So, you would just notice in the TV guide that there would be a Red Dwarf episode airing at 2 a.m. on Tuesday. And so you set your alarm and you get up and watch a Red Dwarf episode at 2 a.m. on a Tuesday.
Did you ever watch the American version?
Yeah, it's a shame that one never took off.
What's the one? I didn't know there was one.
An American version?
Right, there was a pilot made. It is available if you search for it on popular video sharing sites. It is upsettingly
YouTube.
Bad. Abysmal. They made Lister a hero. They made Lister gorgeous, punky.
Yeah, it's Craig Bierko. And Daphne from Frasier is Holly the computer.
Really?
That was right.
Yeah.
There should be a law that the United States can't remake British shows because we ruin them every single time.
Not really. The Office was pretty good.
I knew someone would bring up The Office, and
it wasn't ruined. It was different, but it was pretty good.
I couldn't get into the American Office. I tried, but it
were you selling something? Cringy?
It was not the British Office, which
and they was and then Fawlty Towers. That was I've only seen a couple on YouTube, but Jesus Christ, did they butcher the jokes? The timing was just not right.
You can't not do Fawlty Towers.
Again, another thing I didn't know they'd done, and I'm glad I was happy without that knowledge, but really I was.
It was John Larroquette instead of John Cleese. Why do I know this garbage?
And it wasn't called Fawlty Towers.
No, it wasn't, was it?
It was set in California, I think. It wasn't called that. I'll find the link and I'll send it to you, and you can watch how bad it is. And the scripts are almost the same.
Pain.
But they don't pace it right, and the jokes just go... What's the point?
Wow. So I assume that means there's also an American version of Are You Being Served?
Oh, I've never seen that.
That just, you couldn't, how would that be?
I mean, it literally could not work because everything about Are You Being Served has to be British. I mean, that.
Yeah.
It's got to be. It can't be anything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I've never seen a whole episode of Are You Being Served?
You look a man of a certain age, you should have done. You've been forced to sit with it with your parents when you were younger, like I was.
No, I don't think they liked it either.
Ah, weird. No, I as a man of a certain age, I was, it was one of those, it was kind of obligation television because it wasn't that much on. You'd end up sitting watching it because they all had Mrs. Slocum and all that kind of thing. And oh, God, dear. I'm not the biggest fan, but I always quite like John Inman. I thought John Inman was amusing. I have been known to use that, a meme with John Inman info. When someone says, you free, I will send back a picture of John Inman occasionally because that's amusing.
Okay, that is funny. Yeah.
Better start the show, otherwise we'll be here all day.
You know what? What do we do again?
I don't even know. Mueller, did I even say hi to you yet?
No, carry on.
All right. Well, so this is everyone and Mueller. All right, who has the first story?
I already put it in the box.
Oh, you beat me.
Oh, you did. I see it now. Not the Dalek shirt. There it is. Nope. I clicked another Dalek shirt. Where's your link?
Oh, it's way up the top. Microsoft
event. I see the Microsoft event.
Yeah.
Okay.
I figured that made sense. So on the 22nd. On the 22nd, Microsoft had a Surface event where they outlined all the latest and greatest in Surface hardware. So there's a couple of changes. The interesting thing was a couple of interesting things. The Surface Pro 8 is actually, other than the screen enhancements, is exactly like the Surface Pro 7 Plus. With one caveat, it has two Thunderbolt capable USB-C ports, and the Surface Pro 7 Plus has one USB-C port and one USB-A port. The big change in the Surface Pro 8 will be the screen. It's 120 hertz screen that they've cut the bezel basically in half on it, so you get a full 13 inch screen size on it now. So it's a much nicer, much more robust screen. I'm looking forward to getting one. The other big things were the Surface Book 3 seems to be gone now. Doesn't look like they're going to be renewing that one. But what they've replaced it with was the Surface Laptop Studio Edition. And the screen doesn't come off on that one. But what it does do is it flips around on a centralized hinge so that you can lay it flat down and use it like a tablet, or you can have it arched or angled, whichever way you need to make it view the way you want it to view. So it gives you a lot of flexibility on how the screen is set up. It's the most powerful Surface unit right now on the market that you'll be able to get. It's got the best specs, the best GPU, the best CPU. It's quite a powerful little machine. It's good for gaming work, editing, video editing, whatever it is you want to do. It's a pretty good, powerful machine. The other big thing was the Surface Duo 2. I think it was probably the most sought after or the most eagerly anticipated thing out of the whole event, because people want to know, are they really bringing out the Surface Pro 2 or the Surface Duo 2? There were a lot of rumors that, yeah, they were definitely were. But when you look at the specs on this device, it really does sort of showcase that the Surface Duo 1 was very obviously supposed to have Windows Mobile on it. And then late in the game, they decided to put Android on it and then released it later because its specs were quite old for the time when it got came out. This one has the latest specs, the latest Snapdragon processor, much better camera. It has a back angle camera now. The front camera on the old one, I believe, was 5 megapixel. This one, the front facing camera, is a 12 megapixel. So it's a much better camera for doing video calling and different things like that. It has a triple lens camera on the back, which gives you, 16 megapixel wide angle, a distance lens, and a close-up lens. So it's much more in line with sort of the way cameras are on smartphones now. And it'll run Android. The one concern that I have with it is it runs Android version 11, not Android version 12, which we'd expect with the newer phone, flagship phone coming out right away. And there's no word from them when it's actually going to get the upgrade to Android version 11.
You know, is it just me, or even though Microsoft is making what I assume is supposed to be reference hardware so that other companies know what they can do, but Microsoft is making like really good hardware.
Mm-hmm.
It does look really good, doesn't it?
I mean, I'm looking at the Surface Duo phone, and that looks, I must admit, that is intriguing. It really is.
I like the little glimpse bar on the side. So when you close it completely flat along the hinge line, there's a glimpse bar that will tell you how much power you have, what the time is, and your notifications, what notifications you have. So you'll be able to get an idea of whether you need to look at the device and open it up at all, which I think was kind of imperative having the closed clamshell type device. I mean, really, nobody's been putting out closed clamshell devices for 10 years.
Yeah, that
now.
Does look nice.
It really does. That's kind of, I think, an imperative change to it. I really like it. I actually, I'm excited about getting one. I mean, I will eventually get the Surface Duo 1, but it will kind of be one of those ones that I buy, it stays in the box, and it goes into my collection, and I never really use it. The Surface Duo 2, I can see myself using.
But it's as much as a half terabyte 13-inch iPad Pro.
Yeah. It's a lot of money.
And it's essentially, it's an Android phone without the phone. And it's as much money as a 13-inch iPad Pro. And I just can't... It doesn't seem like a lot when you start to compare it like that. It's nice, it looks clever and everything, but it just seems like a lot for not much.
But again it's like I said, it's reference hardware. It's made for specific tasks. It's not going to be the everyman phone, right?
Just but it's like not anybody, Samsung. Is it a phone or is it I misunderstood. I thought the last one wasn't a phone.
No. They keep saying it's not a phone. It's a business device. They're trying to market it that it's not a phone, but they've all been able to make phone calls.
Microsoft, your marketing is awful.
You sold the phone that I didn't know was a phone.
That's.
I mean, the staggering chance that happens is only due to Microsoft's absolute shit marketing.
I just had a quick look on the Galaxy Z Fold 2, which is probably an equivalent device. It's about the same money, so it's not actually that crazy. It's not actually that crazy a price.
Can you get much more? I kind of forgive it now.
I honestly didn't know it was a phone. I thought they weren't phones.
Yeah, and that doesn't surprise me at all. It doesn't surprise me.
It's not a phone.
All right.
Actually, yes, nothing there says the word make phone calls, apart from you can do things before with 5G, but that still doesn't suggest it's a phone. It could be just a wireless tablet, couldn't it?
Yeah, I thought it was a folding tablet.
It does have telephony apps and features. Yes.
Rich, I was with you.
Okay.
I was actually surprised when Atlee told us this is a phone.
Because I thought when the first one was talked about, people were saying, well, why would you buy this when it's not a phone? When you also have to have a phone. I've misunderstood a lot. Damn you, Microsoft.
It's got a display on the edge, hasn't it? If you close it, it's got a little display on the
edge.
It looks really nice.
Atlee, you should have mentioned that edge display when you were talking earlier about the Surface Duo 2.
You mean like when we talked about it about 5 minutes ago? When
that would be, I did actually mention that. It a couple minutes ago,
I certainly remember that, yeah.
So, and there's a link to Microsoft's support page where they explain that, yes, you can actually make phone calls.
Oh, God.
It was a standing joke that I had with a bunch of friends in sort of the phone app and the Microsoft phone group that I dealt with, that Microsoft, when they bought Nokia and they got rid of a whole bunch of people, what they should have done is kept their marketing department and fired their entire marketing department and bring them in-house. I was just like, oh, out of all the things you got rid of out of Nokia, the marketing department shouldn't have been one, because Nokia's marketing was brilliant. I love that the commercials they did with the color, the fact that they focused on that Nokia's phones had color and all the other phones were just black and you know, very black or gray, or they're very sort of monochromic.
Well, at least we knew there were phones.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There is that.
We knew what Nokia sold. They sold phones, and apparently so did Microsoft.
You know, it's a problem if you need to make a KB article that
explains it,
that the device they bought is actually a phone.
Yes, yes, yes. It's fantastic, but yes.
Surface Go 3 is what I want. I think I might get that.
Is that a phone? Could be. Who knows?
It could be.
No.
Well, you say have you looked for a KB article that tells you how to make calls on it?
Well, you can make Skype calls on it. You
just can't do emergency calls. Yeah.
So,
and it takes SIM cards.
And it's also 5G. I'm pretty sure I could find that phone app and jam it on it too.
Oh, Microsoft.
Oh, anyways, Microsoft, the micro is because everything they make is small, and the soft is because their marketing is really soft.
It's Steve's point, that one's a lot cheaper. That's $400, but
yeah,
which will be $400 when it comes over here, no doubt.
Yeah, and exactly.
Yeah. I think
that was pretty nice.
I mean, look, contract.
Do they? All right.
They had the last one on contract.
Yeah, this is some interesting stuff, and I really like what Microsoft is doing
with their design, not their marketing. With their design.
With their design.
Designs are great.
You know, because the more that they do to come up with interesting and compelling designs means the more other companies are going to do to either match that or to compete directly
or to take it to the next level. Exactly. I mean, if you look at when the Surface Pro came out, the original Microsoft Surface Pro came out, if the Surface Pro came out, do you think we would have, if it hadn't come out, do you think we would have ended up ever getting the Yogas, you know, those really, really cool tablet laptops by Lenovo that flip things around and handle the, you know, like those were beautiful laptops. And I don't know if Lenovo would have ever made those if they hadn't had the envelope pushed by Microsoft releasing things like the Surface that changed the form factor. And I mean, we might still also be looking at laptops that are a little clunkier, a little, you know, heavier, a little, you know, because the form factor for Windows machines was always kind of not pretty. Like it was never beauty was never part of the plan with Windows devices until Microsoft started going, hey, listen, let's start making some non-ugly things.
Yeah, I mean, there were some companies that were trying to mimic what Apple was doing aesthetically.
But it was, but those were very, very few and far between. Now you walk into a store that sells Windows laptops, and there's some really beautiful things on offer.
Mm.
That's
good. The new stuff is a lot better than the old ever was. I mean, the I mean, I'm looking at this. I used to have a Surface Pro 3 and flicking through the Surface Pro X. I mean, that looks fantastic in terms of things and nice stuff like they figured out finally you should have somewhere to put the pen rather than it dangle on the side and get lost.
Well, and now also that little holder actually charges the pen up as well.
That's even better.
So your pen's always fully charged so that when you get it, you're ready to go. And
yeah, I mean, I used to really enjoy mine. I mean, the only barrier for me these days is the fact it doesn't run Mac OS.
Yeah.
In a way, but there we go.
Well, the funny thing is I don't know anybody who has a Mac that doesn't have Windows running in some way, Parallels or Bootcamp or something that they're using to run Windows, because most of my friends are developers, right? So they have to be able to run both. So
yeah, I've got under this desk, there's a desktop machine that runs Windows that I RDP into when I need Windows.
Yeah,
I don't have Windows. I have a Mac and I don't have Windows and I don't want it. So
there are definitely people like you, Patrice. I just know one.
Yeah, I mean, I know some people that have Windows too. So it's like...
All right, I'd like to point out what I find to be the most awesome part about the Microsoft event page, where they list off all of these sleek new products they announced. You get to the bottom of the list and it says Microsoft Ocean Plastic Mouse. So yes, all these devices. Oh, and a mouse. Now, I get that it's different because it's made with plastics that have been reclaimed and recycled from the ocean, but it's just kind of funny. We have all these things. And we made a mouse.
I'm wondering how they harvest that from the ocean. And I'm just wondering how many other companies can and will do that.
They got these sea rumbas that go through the ocean picking up. We've discussed this before. So they got
There's an entire continent out on the ocean that you can go just pick the stuff up. There's apparently a miniature continent of literal plastic that is gathered in the ocean. That's what, 1.5 times the size of Texas?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's some crazy number like that. It's insane.
Wow. That's got to be, you know, approaching the size of, you know, half of Australia at this point.
Well, at least we know where to go find the plastic to make some more mice.
We need more.
Well, so the interesting thing is, I think that this is also part of that. Microsoft's got a big bid to make them carbon neutral or carbon negative actually by the time 2030 rolls around. So where they're actually not only not leaving a carbon footprint, but they're starting to consume other companies' carbon footprints.
We need more companies doing that.
Mm-hmm. Any companies doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think at this point we're looking at as far as big name companies that are making a very serious push that direction. We have Microsoft and we have Apple. And those are the two companies that come to mind first. And I'm having a hard time thinking of other tech companies doing the same. Yeah.
Speaking of plastic, I just put a link in the chat about baby poop and microplastics.
So next mouse from Microsoft, they'll harvest plastic from
baby poop.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's an idea.
And the mouse will only come in brown or that really gross yellow color.
So they can collect the baby poop with the microplastics, take out the microplastics, and send the rest to the marketing department to work with. I think.
Perfect.
Okay.
Yeah.
Patrice, I have to point out, I was relying on you to be the classy person today. And yet, here we
are. Too late.
Yeah.
Okay. We should talk about Ian's story. This is the one that popped up as we were wrapping up last week. So it needed to be a story this week. So, Ian, tell us about Clive Sinclair.
Clive Sinclair last week died aged 81. He was one of the foremost English entrepreneurs and inventors and he pioneered computing. So all of the stuff that we, particularly home electronics, all the stuff we rely on today, came out of his little baldy head. And his ideas were some of the first things. I mean, he was one of these ones that was massive in the 80s and then it all disappeared after that. He kind of didn't stay with the industry, but the things like the ZX Spectrum, the Black Watch, that was like a new design technology as well in its day. Then there was the ZX80, the ZX81, the ZX Spectrum. All of those were massive hits and bringing computing down to a very affordable level. The basic one was like 125 quid. Back in the day, that was unheard of for a computer in like 1982. Mm-hmm. So fantastic stuff that he brought to us, brought computing and programming and launched lots of bedroom coders from the fact that we could all sit at home with this horrible spongy keyboard and type away basic coding and to write little programs and things. It all came from him. And that was fantastic. And that was one of the competing ones in the home computing market of the 80s come 90s. And we also developed a car, the C5, fabulous little electric vehicle ahead of his time again in thinking and ideas. Sadly, everyone laughed at him. And that kind of, I think, set his stock a bit on the downward turn in terms of things. I think he had a bit of a later life as a poker player. He carried on inventing, though, because one of these folding bikes was another one of his. There's an X bike. You can see some pictures of it if you look for him. So he did various bits and pieces. But yet, fascinating bloke. Died for cancer at age 81. So, but yes, he's one of those sort of innovators of modern computing that we kind of forget about, because a lot of the home computing market started in the UK with things like Clive Sinclair and the ZX81.
I remember
his folding bike was like, it was an e-bike, not just a folding bike.
Oh, the X one, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, the Sinclair computers were available here in the United States also. And I do remember friends having them. And, you know, it was just like this keyboard that you plugged into your television. And now and your television became a screen for the computer and the keyboard was the computer, and away they go. And it was really cool.
Oh yeah, completely. Completely cool. Some of the stuff that was there was utterly brilliant. Some of the ideas there were utterly brilliant. Really brilliant.
First pocket calculator.
Yeah. Oh yes, of course. That was him as well. I remember that one. Yeah. Well,
yep.
Yeah, I bought it.
I remember that. Yeah. I remember a friend's dad who was an electrical engineer having the Sinclair pocket calculator. And he carried it around like a badge of honor, which, I mean, to be fair, it was really
expensive when it first came out.
It was really awesome. For us, it was like looking at someone that had come from the future with Star Trek technology and was letting us see it.
According to the Wikipedia page, it cost $79.95, but that's in 1972.
Yes.
So now
there was a lot of money then.
It was a fortune, mate. That was a much
But even so, some of the other stuff, when you compare it, sort of comparable prices, I think sort of the equivalent IBM for the day was way out of your price range to be able to buy. Mm-hmm. So these sort of things.
Wasn't one you could buy. In those days, the IBM was in. It was in an office. And it was the size of a bloody caravan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I decommissioned many of them over the years, yes. I've lumped those big old Model 50, whatever it was, and things around with the keyboards that you could kill people with. You know that scene from the movie Wanted where he swings the keyboard around and smacks the guy around the head and you see the keys flying? It's one of them. That's superb to type on. Lovely, lovely mechanical
function device. It's a weapon and a keyboard.
Yeah. Wonderful clicky keys, you know, that kind of, yes, proper sort
proper
of
cherry keys.
Yeah, proper mechanical keys before cherry.
Yeah, good times. Yeah.
Back in the day, but around the keyboards on those things, those horrible spongy things, you'd be hammering away at trying to make it do something.
Yeah. I was actually sad to hear that he had passed. Because even though I didn't own a Sinclair computer, I was familiar with them, and I appreciated the critical role they played in personal computing. So
yeah. Didn't he found arm? He found arm, didn't he?
Or it was one of the.
No, it was his business partner in Sinclair. There's a movie about it with Martin Freeman and Alexander.
Yes, there is a really good. There is a really good movie about it.
The Hobbit.
It's still. It might still be on BBC iPlayer.
They were business partners. He left, and the guy who left founded Arm because it was. Oh, wasn't it? He went and made the BBC Micro, and that was where the Arm process when they did the risk
Micro Men,
the Archimedes Micro Men. That's it.
Just been looking for it now. It's not currently available on iPlayer. It looks.
It'll be currently available on other.
Yes, YouTube. Somewhere or another. YouTube, somewhere, yeah.
You'll be able to find that on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll throw that one in the chat room. There we are, Microman.
And Batwench for the
Chris Curry and him, yeah.
With the link in the chat.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
That's it. I'll watch that.
Awesome. Okay. All right, who has the next story? Wow.
I've got several to choose from, actually.
I have got one, but I mean, I'm waiting for everyone else.
Boom, there you go.
Okay, thanks, Rich, for pulling through for us. And
Twitter is introducing tipping via Bitcoin. Amongst other things, so apparently they have tipping now because we've reached a point where people want to give people money for tweeting. Okay, that's a thing, but now you're going to be able to do that with Bitcoin, which is a fairly significant platform to have undertaken such a thing. I'm assuming they're going to have to give you some sort of Twitter-based crypto wallet a little bit to work because you're going to have to deposit the Bitcoin from somewhere.
Well,
no, you could just send it from your regular wallet, couldn't you?
But Square's doing Bitcoin wallets now, and
PayPal is too.
Yeah,
PayPal that have just, but yeah, they announced it was that annoyed me because I remember talking on the show about a month ago when they announced it's coming this week, and it turned up this week. There are things with that apparently. As I understand it, you aren't buying Bitcoin on PayPal. It's quite odd. They're buying it and remembering that bit of it is really yours, which is not the same as you actually buying it. But that's not what we're here to talk about. The other thing that Twitter are really interesting me with is that they're talking about that they're working on a way of selling NFTs.
Mm-hmm. It just seems stupid.
So I can start selling my stupid tweets as NFTs.
Well, you can sell anything as an NFT. Well,
yeah,
anything
but directly
digital.
Through Twitter.
Yeah, directly through
You can
Twitter.
Sell your baby's poop as an NFT, right?
You know what? Right. Though? I'm thinking having people able to pay you directly for tweets, that's going to really improve the content on Twitter, I think.
So if we just go over to the latest NFT market cap ratings on CoinMarketCap. CoinMarketCap.com. Axie Infinity, which is the top NFT market at the moment, is currently ranked at £1,526,995,000. The next one below that.
I'm interrupting you for 1 second.
Sorry.
Because never mind. I was going to say goodbye to Atlee, but whatever.
Oh, sorry,
Atlee. He's gone. Screw him, Rich. It's all
so,
you.
So the NFT marketplace is huge. This is, I don't get it. I don't understand why some of these things are worth what they're worth, but these things are huge. And the amount of money going into this is enormous. I totally get why Twitter would want a piece of that because we are talking billions and billions of dollars on this.
Can I ask a question though? Why would you want to give some money to someone who's just tweeted how many characters? I don't know, 150.
Look, why do people do anything on Twitter? there's a lot of this.
I was thinking, Steve, I think it may be an age thing because I was thinking the same thing, mate. I can't see why I would give money for someone to tweet. I have no concept of why this is valuable or why I should encourage even vaguely. But
so I don't think the point is to that you give money to tweet. You give money to support the people, the creators behind the tweet. Like, it's not for the tweet itself. It's for, like, I don't know, you tweet, let's say, a YouTube video, and you want to support that. I mean, you could pay them on YouTube, but you could also just go through Twitter and, like, where you saw it and say, I give you money here.
I suppose
it's not different than Patreon or anything else. Like, it's
I suppose it's...
Yeah.
Sorry, what?
Yeah. I'm wondering why I'm not set up to do this as we speak. Like, why would I not?
Exactly.
If somebody wants to send me money over Twitter, please feel free. I don't care how you send it.
Exactly. That's the
point. Feel free to send Bitcoin now is the point, I suppose.
I mean, I suppose it's interesting. It's micropayments again, isn't it? It's that checking the price of a coffee over to someone because you've enjoyed what you've read.
And when when it comes to micropayments, that's why you want to go into crypto, because what you're not doing is paying MasterCard 30 cents for every microtransaction.
Yeah.
So again, this is why MasterCard and Visa want to get into cryptocurrency. And
unsurprisingly.
And so forth, because, mm-hmm. yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, really? The NFT stuff's very interesting. I don't get it. If anyone wants to explain it to me like I'm seven at some point, please feel free to do so, because I kind of need that. I might try and look for a YouTube that explains it with a cartoon, maybe. But there is a lot of money to be made in this.
A lot of money to be wasted, yes.
Well, you know, quite possibly.
If people give you money, I mean, all power to them.
there's a lot of stuff out there. It's very interesting and definitely worth looking into. I prefer just the cryptocurrency myself, which is a lot easier for me to understand and get my head around, because I think there's a lot of social stuff involved in the NFT. You need to care what it is, and I don't care what it is.
It's like art.
Yeah.
If you care about a Monet painting, then you might pay a lot of money for it. I probably wouldn't give you 5 cents for it because I don't care.
Exactly. I mean, what they're building into it now is gaming and that sort of thing. Axie Infinity is a game where you have little monsters and you go and buy your little monster NFTs, and yours are unique, and there's collecting and improving and all this thing, and they own currency connected with it that you buy all your little monsters with, and each little monster's 200 fucking quid. And so people are paying £600 to play this game with their little monsters, which they can then take to other games to play with them and that kind of thing. And this is why some of them are selling for millions of dollars, because people want to. It's Pokemon, but all the Pokemon aren't in the game. They cost $200 each and people still want them all. That's what it is.
I've just noticed Twitter, you can pay people with mushrooms, non-mushroom tokens. Oh, fungible. Sorry.
That's a different one. It's not non-fungi token.
Non-fungi.
You know, I did let Mary in when he joined the chat. So I suppose this is on.
It's your fault.
Yeah, it's your fault.
Jeff. I'm sorry. I apologize.
You know when you pull Christmas crackers and the shit jokes come out and someone says, "Who writes these?" I think we know.
Now we know. And we know what room he's in when he writes them too.
This one.
Yep.
More about what's in the room with him that worries me. But
it's Friedel's lair, isn't it?
But there is some moving over there. Oh, it's a
That's
cat.
It. Sorry. That's it.
That's what we're worried about.
You know, Twitter getting into this doesn't surprise me at all. I just forgot his name. Jack Dorsey. Is that the Twitter guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He's also the Square guy and part of PayPal. And so when you put all these together, he can create this nice closed ecosystem of social media plus money management and transfer.
Yeah. I'm surprised Mark Zuckerberg isn't going for this. That I guarantee they're looking into crypto at Facebook.
I can't imagine they're not. I mean, for any place exactly where they can make reasons. Money, they yeah. have to be looking at it.
I'm still surprised we haven't heard a big name tech company really associated with stuff yet. I'm still waiting for that to happen. I feel like it can't be long before we get an Amazon or a Google or even an Apple doing something.
Mm.
Of some, mm-hmm. I'm not saying necessarily launching their own currency, but doing a, I could see Google doing a project uses a particular blockchain or something. Oh, totally.
Like they'll release that tomorrow and then in 2 years cancel it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But for those two years, I'll be hoping that I own some of that currency. It's one of those things. So
yeah, the trick there is to get out before they cancel it, because they'll cancel it like they do everything else where it just literally ceases to exist. And then all of the perceived value that's been in there is just gone. And you'll have all these people that are like, where's my money?
Exactly. Well, I think you just use it until you find yourself thinking, hey, this is pretty good. I'm enjoying this.
And then, I better get out.
Now that means they're going to shut it down now. Okay. Get away from it. Because that's what they've always done. I put it in my life and then they close it. Damn you, Google. But yeah, get some crypto, everybody. Seriously, you'll want some.
No.
Oh, in the chat room, Batwinch is asking about the country that took on Bitcoin as an official currency, and that's El Salvador. And yeah, that happened a few weeks ago. Yep.
It did. There are other countries looking into it, and they're not necessarily replacing their own currency with it. They're just making it also legal tender.
Right. And so now in El Salvador, you can go into fast food restaurants and buy Big Macs and French fries with Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm.
They're just trying to get themselves free of the mighty dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that's something that a lot of people don't like. I mean, I read an article from Western Union complaining that means they're expecting to lose about $400 million a year, because something ridiculous like 30% of El Salvador's GDP is monetary gifts sent from the US.
Really?
And
really?
Yeah, it's an obscene percentage of their GDP. And of course, if you want to send money internationally like that, right now it was Western Union with their fees and processing and all of that kind of thing. It's now Bitcoin, which might cost you a couple of cents to send that money immediately without the need for a third party. And so Western Union, they're expecting to lose about $400 million a year from that alone. So as other countries come online, and they tend to be the sort of less wealthy nations that are coming on first that people are sending money to, then all the people who make money out of money transfers are going to start to really feel the pinch on that.
That's fascinating. Wow.
But yeah.
I was reading about it now. I'm just having a look at that now. I didn't realize. That is fascinating. That country, Bitcoin completely independent. Mm.
Wow. Okay. Who has the next story? I think we're down to you, Patrice, and Mueller. Am I right?
Post it.
Yes, you are.
Well, I'll post.
So, I don't know. Should I go first or Mueller? What is your
ladies like, first?
Okay, what is your guess? How many apps are downloaded in a month, and how much money that is? Well, actually, in a quarter. Sorry.
If I were to stick with the obvious U.S. centric view that I'm expected to have, I would say it's hundreds of millions, but I presume
36 billion
worldwide.
Well,
yeah. So I was going to say,
yeah, I was billions. Asking you not about read, like you're not supposed to read it. I was asking you your opinion.
Oh, right.
Like what it is.
You know, I like it on Christmas morning. Mueller's the one that ruins the presents for everyone, but by telling everyone what they're about to unwrap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I mean, what are the others guessing? I mean, what's like, how big is the number of downloads and how big is the number of like spending actually per quarter worldwide?
Well, I've also read the article now, so
okay.
I feel like
it's so then it's pointless.
Damn it! So I'm the only one that went
I should have posted it.
Make a bad guess. 30 billion worth of apps.
Okay. So 36 billion in downloads.
Oh, I was close.
It's consumer.
Amazing.
Yeah. It is a lot of money if you think in a quarter, $34 billion are spent on apps or in-app purchases, anything like that. 34 billion. One quarter. And that's quarter three of this year. So actually, yes. So you know, it's
wow.
It's not even Christmas or the entire year. Like it's probably about 120, like 150 billion, something like that in a year. Somewhere between 100 and 150.
And this is across all app platforms, right?
Across all app platforms. Yeah, okay. It's a guess. It's an estimation. Like it's not they don't know it 100%. But I think it's a pretty educated guess because it's based on analytics data and like reported numbers and all of that. So it's crazy if you think about it that something that didn't exist, at least not in this way, 20 years ago, didn't really exist 15 years ago.
Right, 10 years
ago. I mean,
ago,
barely.
Really beginning.
Barely exist.
Nokia.
Well, there were some apps, but I mean, it was like very little and made basically no money. As I said, it barely existed 15 years ago.
Right, so that would be your Nokia bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, barely existed 15 years ago. And now it is, I mean... It's an industry that is bigger than a lot of other industries, if you think about it.
When we talk about spending $34 billion on apps and games, are we talking about buying the app or does that include the services within the app?
As far as I've understood it, it's also the services, like in-app purchases, anything like that, subscriptions.
So with that, like my monthly Netflix could be contributing to that $34 billion. And my Spotify account, and
I'm not sure what they included, what they didn't include there. I mean, they included games and in-app purchase for games, but
yeah, I'd be surprised if streaming services like Spotify and Netflix are included because they tend to bill outside the App Store ecosystems.
Yeah, so it's more about in-app purchases that you do, or like coins and stuff like that that you buy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I said, it's crazy.
Get a Nintendo Switch and stop buying games with gems in them. It's apparently cheaper, is all I'm saying. You know, you think it's not, but clearly we're spending less money on playing Zelda than we are on playing Candy Crush. Yeah. So,
and I mean, that's actually pretty true. Like, as far as I remember, games makes like a big chunk of that. Of that revenue. Like usually the apps that, I mean, if you look at the App Store charts, the apps that make most like Apple App Store charts, usually in the top 10, there are a lot of games. I mean, Fortnite was there until they got booted.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, I mean,
at this amount of money, of course, it's no wonder that, Epic is very actively pursuing forced app store changes for Apple and Google. Because, I mean, we're talking a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, and Fortnite had a pretty big, cut of the market. So, as I said, as far as I remember, they were like in the top 10 of top, like, browsing apps for quite a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Sad. And according to this article, iOS is about 65% of that.
That doesn't surprise me, even though there are worldwide more Android users.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen studies that say that people that own iPhones are much more likely to spend additional money than people who own Android phones.
Yeah, that's true. Is that, I mean, if you think about that, you say, okay, like 65% was iOS, and then say 10% of that was Epic with Fortnite.
That's a lot of money.
That's a whole lot of money.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if 10% is realistic, like given how many players there are, but even if it's 1%.
It's still a lot of money.
When you think about it, all this a couple of dollars here, all adds up. The mobile phone and everything is so ubiquitous, it just all adds up. And that stone keeps on rolling. Those little pennies keep on ticking in.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets there, doesn't it? I mean, it's crazy when you think about it. It really is. But
well, I would like to see a ticker just for like the revenue coming in for like company like Fortnite, like Epic. Mm.
That would be a really fast ticker.
It's like very fast ticker, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Mobile purchases. Or mobile device purchases, it stands to reason, at least for me, that this is a place where it's much easier for people to spend money, simply because this is the device that's always with you. Therefore, this is the device where you're going to be using apps and games that ultimately are asking for more money. Therefore, it becomes easier to spend that money. Whereas with your computer, it's not always with you, even if it's a laptop. It's not like you can stand in line at the grocery store and very easily pull out your laptop and play a game for a few minutes, but you can do that with your phone.
I feel like portable apps have a much more aspirational quality to them. They're all about, this is the one that's going to sort your life out. This is the app that will organize your life, get you to the gym, clean your hair, and send you on holiday and get your bank sorted and that kind of thing. They're all some sort of be better, make yourself happier, optimistic sort of thing. They're all a utility. And I think there's a good reason why people go searching through them and seeing what they can get their hands on and what I actually make their life better.
Yeah.
So it feels like there's a lot more. Desktop apps tend to be a lot more utilitarian. You get what you need for what you do and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. We'll all have a basic subset, and most of those apps will come on most machines for free now. Yeah. I mean, gone are the days of needing to go out and spend money on a word processor and that kind
That's
of
true,
thing.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I mean, Google Sheets and everything does it, doesn't it?
Yeah, but on a phone, I mean, sitting and just browsing the app store, that's one of the things you do on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's no surprise that we're just dropping so much cash on these things. That said, I don't remember the last one I bought. So it must be a lot of in-app.
It's a lot of other, yeah. Mm. And the prices that people are paying tend to be pretty low. So, when you're paying a dollar or a couple dollars for something, either in-game or just as a full app, it's really easy to drop that money over and over without really thinking about it, because it's not that much, but of course it adds up.
Yeah, and I mean, it's also the number of users. I mean, we have a rough idea how many like mobile phone users are there out there. I mean, we know from Apple, it's about a billion and something, like billion and three or something, 1.3. And for Android, it's probably like, I don't know, 3 billion or something like that, or 2 billion, something like that. So, I mean, that's also a pretty big number. I think they even mentioned the article some numbers, like the top 500 apps out there averaged 91.7 million monthly active users.
Wow.
So the average of all of them.
And it's grown 8% a year.
Yeah.
It's not,
but even for the games, I think they mentioned somewhere, it was about 7.7. Like the top 50 games had an average of 7.6 million users, daily active users.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah. I mean, like the casual gaming market was still a little bit bigger, but that's... Actually, never mind. It was the shooting games had a, like the top 50 shooting games had an average of 7.6. So Fortnite and also
just a subset of games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. I mean, probably the one of the most popular subsets, but yeah. Wow. I mean, that is a number. That's quite a big number.
That's a big number. I mean, they don't have a chart in the article that breaks out gaming versus non-gaming. Oh no, they do. I was curious what the gaming versus non-gaming breakdown is, but they do have a Q3 2021 chart for that. Yeah, so of course the gaming is a larger percentage. Although,
no, isn't it showing? Isn't this showing the opposite?
Non-gaming
on iOS looks to be about a quarter, maybe a fifth.
Non-gaming is still less on iOS, but it's significantly less on Android. So
that's where the business apps are.
They're on iOS. So there's a chart partway down the page that says worldwide app consumer spend Q3 2021. And it shows that we're up 20% year over year.
I was looking at the one above that.
Oh, yep. I can see your confusion with what I was saying. Because
that one, the one I was looking at showing downloads and the one is the spend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So in actual fact, that shows a lot more, because when you look that, you know, gaming represents maybe a quarter or a fifth of iOS downloads and represents mm-hmm. way more than half of the actual spending.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. It's also interesting that spending on Google Play for gaming isn't all that, for non-gaming isn't all that much.
Right.
Like it's mostly gaming.
What are you going to do on an Android?
Well, that's probably,
you know, in actual fact, to be fair, I think on the Android market you're going to get a lot of kids' first phones. You're going to, you mm-hmm. know, teenagers sure. who've yes. got who mm-hmm. are going to yeah. play the games and have got the lower end Android devices.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Or they are in like in emerging markets where like simply money is not as available as in the Western world where there are more. Like, I mean, if you look at iOS versus Android, in the Western countries like US and Europe and so on, that's like close to 50-50 split right now, or getting there. Whereas in the rest of the world, like in other countries, it's not even close to that. So that also shows you where the money is.
Completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Mueller, I see your comment in the chat room. Too many companies trying to soak us for subscriptions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, of course. There are tons of companies that are moving to the subscription model because they're finding it to be much more sustainable for them. Yeah, the trick is, as consumers, finding the apps or services that are actually useful for us, so we're paying just for the things we need, which is a change from what we had in the past, where we could buy a bunch of apps for really cheap just to try them out, and mm-hmm. then you know, so maybe we spent $10 on across five different apps, and it turns out we only needed one of them. Whatever, is only $10 total. But it totally changes how we look at the apps that we want to use, and the apps that we need to use.
Mm-hmm.
I do miss trialware, where you could actually try something before you bought it, mm-hmm. where it would work for a short period. You judged if you liked it, but now you have to just buy it, and then you go, oh, I don't like this, and you've wasted your money.
No, that's not true. There are a lot of trials and free trials.
Yeah, I've found,
or like you can cancel anytime, like where it's mm-hmm. like, okay, yeah, you buy it, but you cancel it within the first like whatever 7 days for like without paying for it.
Or they have like a non-subscription version mm-hmm. where it works, but maybe not all the features mm-hmm. there, or you, or the features are all there, but you can only use a small percentage of whatever, mm-hmm. Maybe you can save 5 records instead of an infinite number.
Yeah.
And then once you pay, then you have the full app. Okay, so Bob Beach is saying that he subscribes to Creative Cloud, Ulysses, 1Password, Clean My Mac, Set Apps, and then wraps it up by saying, yikes.
I thought it was yikes.
Or maybe
another subscription, Bob, yikes.
Bob, why would you subscribe to Clean My Mac when it's on Set Up?
Yeah.
Oh, you can. Nobody's stopping you from doing it.
And Ulysses is also on Clean My Mac, so I get it.
By the way, Batwrench was.
I have Set App, but I'm paying for Ulysses as well. And the reason I'm doing that is because I use Ulysses enough that I feel like I should be paying the developer directly for that, so that they're actually getting a little bit more money. So yes, it's costing me more every year to have Ulysses than if I just used what's available in Set App. But it feels like the right thing for me.
Actually, thinking about it, I think I do. I think I bought. I think I when I didn't have a setup, I bought it before then. So I'm probably still paying for that one anyway. But this is how this happens. Clearly, isn't it? This is how this happens. It's a small enough amount of money that I haven't noticed it.
I do miss setup. I miss setup so much. That library of useful little apps. That there's always one, and I'm trying to find a Windows equivalent, and people are like, what's a useful little app? I don't know, sounds like a Mac thing.
Okay. That went subscribe to Microsoft Casual Games.
I did start my Xbox Game Pass subscription again the other night, so I suppose that's something. And my Office 360, I have got so many.
I don't even want to think about it.
I found an app a while ago on, I think it's not for iOS, that all it does is keep track of all your subscriptions. Wouldn't surprise me if there's a subscription for that app too.
What really annoys me is that TV programs now are spread across multiple platforms that all want subscriptions that you used to have for free.
You paid for them.
No. There's a program. What's it called now? It's actually on it's on BritBox, and it's only on BritBox, and it used to be free, and it's annoying because there's all these programs, they're spread across different platforms, and you can't get them unless you go keep on paying for all these subscriptions. Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to question whether it was really ever truly free. One way or another, you paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it was through your taxes because it was a BBC service, I don't know, but you paid for it somehow.
Yeah, but the thing is, I still pay for BBC, and I still pay... Now I've got to pay for BritBox. I'd rather just watch the adverts and get it for free.
Which means you're not really getting it for free because now you're paying with your time.
Yes. Yeah, true.
Can you still buy stuff? We used to buy stuff. I remember doing that.
You can still buy stuff on Amazon, Prigod Prime, or even on Apple on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you want to.
Yeah,
I don't know whether everything is available. I think there's a lot of content nowadays that's streaming only, but
or you can walk into HMV and buy a DVD.
I'll buy Doctor Who on iTunes because it's cheaper for me to buy a full season of Doctor Who, even if I watch each episode only once, than it is to pay for a BBC America subscription.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I know. I did the math, and I'm like, oh, okay. That's crazy. Looks like I'm just gonna buy it.
Yeah. I mean, there is definitely something to the argument that there are too many services. I mean, I'm just thinking about it. Like, I have Hulu. I'm like, I have Paramount Plus. I have, well, Prime because I get it. Like, there's still stuff. Yeah, and there's just still stuff that is like that I can't get.
And that's just video. We're all subscribed to iCloud or a Google thing or both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All kinds of things. What else have we got? Amazon Prime. YouTube Premium. Various web hosting and email things. Amazon S3 storage, iCloud storage, Google storage, Microsoft 365 with more storage.
Yeah.
The higher spam call blocker app. Plex, there's so many things. Everything wants $2 or $3.99. It's only $2 or $3.99. Yeah, I'm paying a couple hundred quid in subscriptions a month now. Thank you.
Yeah, but they're only a couple bucks each. Yep.
Yeah.
And I was looking into like streaming the F1 live, where you want another subscription for that, and you need a VPN, so that's another subscription for that as well.
That's true. Yes. Yeah. That too.
Just.
I said, I don't want to think about it. Like, I'm just going to cry.
Rich, just get Now TV for that.
No, because it costs a fucking fortune.
It does.
It's an absolute fortune, Now TV, to watch the F1. And it's so extortionate. You've got me looking now. Because I'm gonna say what it is, and we can all gasp at it. What is it? 25 quid a month. For Sky Sports streaming, and then I need to get the boost package so that it comes in HD. They're still charging more for HD.
What? Wow. HD. Wow.
So it's about 30 quid a month to watch a weekend event. I don't watch any of the football. I don't care about any other sport or any other thing on any of it. And I have to buy 12 sports channels.
Jesus.
Oh, wait, sorry. No, that is an introductory offer. For the first 3 months, it's £25 a month. After that, it's £33.99 a month.
But you can buy, actually, with no TV, you don't have to subscribe. You can buy a weekend pass.
It's more than a week. It's like 15 quid.
You could buy a day pass or a weekend pass. So if you want to watch the football or that day, you can pay £10, just watch what you want.
So it's a day pass is a tenner. So if we have one race, we could have up to three in a month. So if we have one race, a Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that's 30 quid a weekend. So if I did it on a day pass, that's potentially 90 quid a month for part of it. It's Now TV can piss off.
Oh my God.
You know, just no.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Bring out the, you know, it's only like this for that sport because Sky bought the rights for it. In other countries, you pay $5.99 a month to the F1 app, you're done.
Yeah.
I bet you got Disney, though.
Nope.
No. Oh, that's the one I'm thinking of going for.
No.
That's the only one I'm thinking of going for.
The Marvel stuff's good, but again, I've reached the point with torrenting. I did it a lot in my teenage years. We had Napster and LimeWire. Stuff like that. I started on Napster. I started pirating music over dial-up connections. That's recording them through the headphone wire on my computer to a tape deck because CD burners weren't a thing yet, right? And when Netflix and everything came along and Apple Music and Spotify, it stopped immediately. I had no reason to pirate anything ever again. Mm-hmm. And damn it, if they haven't pushed me back too far the other way now. With exactly this problem. Like, no one else is having another $7.99 a month. I'm done. I don't care what you've got because it's on BitTorrent now. I don't care.
It gets even more complicated when it's not even available, when you want content and you can't get it because no VPN or anything can even get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing.
Yeah. And this is why I'm not watching Rick and Morty season 5, because even though I'm paying for subscriptions that all include Adult Swim, they don't include that part of Adult Swim.
Oh that's ridiculous.
That's what it is.
Jeff, have you got a VPN?
Of course I do.
Well, then just dial into UK and download All 4. Well, it's all awful.
Okay, so I've seen all the seasons except five. So,
well, that's just all download all four.
I just torrented them.
Loads of Brit stuff, all the Brit stuff. Another one you can watch on there is Black Books. Brilliant. It's on Moplex Surf if you want it. But Rick and Morty and All Adult Swim is on all four.
I literally VPN to the UK for one show and one show only. It's like, come dine with me. I don't know why, but that's like,
that's trash deli, but
it is, but it's fun. Like, I just like watching it. It's ridiculous.
Car crash. Crash telly at times.
Pretty much.
Okay, we still haven't even gotten to talking about the sponsors, and we haven't done Mueller's piece. So I'm just going to move us on to Mueller's now so that no one's left out. So Mueller, tell us about your piece. And I haven't looked at it yet. So what I'm hoping is that it's a piece about Rick and Morty season 5 is now openly available to everyone. And I can finally start watching. Well, we'll do your story anyhow.
Well, we could race through this in a few seconds so you can get through. So basically, Google Maps for Android is now optimized. So us people in who drive on the proper side of the road can have the controls on the right-hand side. So we can touch them instead of leaning across the car. That's about it, really. I mean, if you want to move on and go to the sponsors and people can look at it themselves. But as we've actually overspread a bit.
Okay, the thing for me is, how has it not always been an option? That just seems crazy to me.
I didn't realize it was a problem.
No, I didn't either. But then again, I have my phone the other way up, so I'd never notice.
Yeah, I have my phone portrait. I've got to ask this question. This is how I judge people now. Where do you stick your phone in the car? Because mine's clipped onto, it's on the air vent on the little phone holder that clips on the air vent on the dashboard. And you see people who've got it just there in the middle of the windscreen and they stick it God knows where, and there's a wire trailing across the dashboard and all kinds of things.
Yeah, and anyone that has
it in traffic judging these people.
I judge people that have it in this side corner. I couldn't possibly have it there because it would keep flashing or doing something and drawing my eye to it and I end up a tree somewhere. So it has to be down there out of the way, or even in fact turned off or not turned on.
I mean, if I'm really still using it for navigation, then I prefer having it actually at that corner, because it's like it's basically an eyesight. But then like it's in like navigation mode. Like there's nothing else going on, nothing smashing. It's literally just taking me there. But I mean, these days with CarPlay, you don't even get that.
Center console for me all the time.
Yeah.
It's really hard to text while I'm driving. Otherwise. The live streams are difficult as well, but you know.
Yeah. Well, you're joking. There is a podcast. There's a podcast on there. Like, he does shows while he's driving.
I have actually done it in the past. It's just, not live, but yeah, you can tell.
No, he does live shows while he's driving. I mean, he doesn't react to anything or like read the chat or anything like that, but
yeah,
he live streams.
Yeah. It's still, I mean, come on, they found Top Gear somehow.
It's so true, yes.
But it's legal to do it, technically. Yeah. Just don't be on the phone.
Yeah.
Patrice's, most of his reactions,
yes. Yep.
All right. Well, I'm glad that Google is finally doing something to cater to our British friends who are still driving on the wrong side of the road. Bless their hearts.
I also saw that the Google Car OS, whatever it's called, is coming to Honda in 2022. Honda cars.
Oh.
So, interesting.
Yeah, cool.
It's gaining some traction.
All right. It's expected to be closed down in sort of late 2023, 2024, that kind of time.
Yes, probably. And your car is going to stop working.
Yeah,
right.
we laughed. But who were the running machine fitness bike people? They did that.
Peloton.
Stop paying your subscription, you treadmill stops.
You're joking.
No, that was, I think, yeah. Did we talk about it? That was the thing a while ago.
So if you pay to stop your sub, it bricks your thing.
Yeah.
Oh, cheeky buggers.
Jesus.
That's ridiculous.
All right. Well, speaking of not cheeky people, we are sponsored by TSO Hosts. By the way, I think that was a really slick transition. We're sponsored by TSO Hosts. And that is absolutely awesome because that means we can actually stream live and have shows for you to go and watch or listen to on demand. Seriously, they're providing us the bandwidth we need to bring our shows to you every single week and the server space that we need so that they're available for you when you went to go back and relive your favorite moments. Or if you had a crazy schedule and couldn't join us live, so that you can experience all of this quality program that we're creating every single week. Even when Ewan isn't here, miss you, Ewan. So they just recently upgraded our servers. So they're even better than they were before, which is absolutely awesome. And Patrice, thank you for doing such a great job of getting us migrated to our new servers. And Mueller, what the hell?
At least mute yourself.
We're just listening to you type and pour drinks. Oh my god. I have a new appreciation for what Ewan puts up with every single week. Now that I've been hosting in his place for a while. TSO Hosts, they're awesome. And they put up with us, which is absolutely wonderful. And they seriously are making it possible for us to be here for you. If you need to get hosting, you need to have new domains, hit them up and use the discount code BTN20 and they'll take care of you. They'll give you a nice little discount. And what they're asking of us is that we go out on social media and give them a shout out and tell them that we appreciate that they're here for us. So hit them up on social media, give them some love, because that's how they know that we do appreciate what they are doing for us. So thank you to TSO Hosts for being here for us every single week. And also Iman Max sponsors us, and they're great because they do awesome work on repairing your Apple gear. They can also sell you or lease you Apple gear if you need. They have great deals on used Macs and iPads, and they're just awesome. They're also awesome because when they fix your gear, they just take out the stuff that's broken and replace it instead of like tossing out your entire logic board and putting a new one in. That means less tech waste going into landfills. So they're just awesome people. So if you have any Apple gear you need to get fixed, or you need to get some new or used Apple gear, then Iman Max is a place to go and tell them that you are a BTN fan and they will give you a discount because they're just awesome that way. Also, we still need money for the daily news show, because if we don't get more money coming in, then it ends at the end of this month. And today is the 23rd. So really, we're talking about just a few more days of the show before it's gone forever. And that would just be a tragedy, because we're talking about a show that's been on the air for years and years and years. And it's just been a great thing for so many people. So go to the BTN website and click that button at the top where you can send some money in, and then do it. Even if it's just a couple dollars or a couple pounds or a couple euro, whatever, do it, because we need to keep that show going. And I would just hate to see it end. So please, please, please give some money to keep the daily news show happening. And this is Bob Beach is saying, not another subscription, but this is the subscription that's totally worth it. Totally worth it. So go ahead and do that. All right. And Patrice, I'm so glad you're here on so many levels, but one of those levels is, how do people find the chat? Please help me out here. And you're muted.
I muted myself because I'm a good person when I do something like that, when I do something else. Live chat. There's a live chat. If you're joining us while we're recording, which is, well, today is Thursday, and it's at 7 p.m. UK time, just check the calendar on the page on the website. Or for the Mac show, it's Friday at 4 p.m. UK time. If you do that, then you can just head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com. And you can talk to us, like Batwench and Bob Beach and whoever else is in the chat. Ben, I saw there are some people in the chat. You can talk to them and have fun. But if you're listening to this after the fact, because you don't have time, you're working, like whatever, life, you can still see what we talked about and get all the links and all the fun stuff. And to do that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat, navigate to the, today is the 23rd of September 2021, and then you will see all of it. And as always, don't click on any links Mueller-Biker has posted.
Awesome, thank you. And good advice, don't click Mueller's links. Yeah. Mueller says he has two links. Did I get that right? Yeah. For those of you that are listening and not watching, just use your imagination and you'll eventually figure out what Mueller just did. Okay. So on to the cool thing. Let's see. So if I go, everyone's like moved. All right. So we're not going to worry about following the order that I introduced everyone. We're just going to follow the order of what I see on my screen now. Ian, what do you have for us today?
I've got something I'm just starting to play with, and it looks quite cool. It's called raindrop.io, bookmark manager, and sort of gatherer of links, and a tool, a bit Think Pocket thing, Instapaper, those kind of things, where you've got a tool where you can drop in pages, stuff to come back to. You can sort your favorites with it. I've just started messing around. It looks really quite cool. Looks like it might be a good replacement for various things I've tried over the years to kind of consolidate all my bookmarks into one thing.
Yeah, I haven't used Raindrop.io, but I know some people who have, and they have been really pleased with it. So yeah.
I see there's things like IFTTT things, and there's Zapier links and stuff. So there's all sorts of ways of getting stuff fed into it. So it sounds quite, it could be quite neat. I'm gonna need to have a bit more dig into it, but it looks really quite cool. So I think it's cool. I might complain next week, but I think it's cool.
I think you won't be complaining next week. Just a hunch. Okay, Patrice, what do you have for us?
So I have another movie. This one is on Disney Plus. If you're a fan of the old school Cruella like shows, movies, like there have been different things over the years. This one is definitely for you. Like it's basically the origin story of Cruella de Vil. It's just a really good movie. I really enjoyed it. I've watched it like three times, and it just came out this year, so it's brand new, more or less. Like I think it has been out like a month or two or three, maybe. It's Emma Stone as well as Estella, aka Cruella de Vil. It's just really, 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 really well done. I mean, the flair of the time, the cars, like the people, the costumes, like she changes hair colors and costumes. And I mean, Cruella, it's about fashion as much as it's about the people and the story. Said Emma Stone versus Emma Thompson, basically. So two Emmas, like fighting with each other. I said, it's just a really great cast. It's really well written. It's like, yeah, it has everything you want. And I've watched it at least three times already. I'm probably going to watch it again.
I was very skeptical.
Me too.
And I loved it. I thought it was a really well done movie.
Yeah. It took me, that's why it took me so long to really start watching it. Like I only watched it a month ago for the first time because I was really skeptical, like remembering the old Disney movie. I'm like, is this any good?
Yeah.
But it is.
Yeah. And I was concerned because it's sort of like an origin story, mm-hmm. but the time period is way after 101 Dalmatians. So
yes,
I was just having a hard time initially thinking that I would enjoy it, but then the movie starts, mm-hmm. and I was hooked pretty quickly, and I loved it.
Yeah, the time period. I mean, I couldn't even place it exactly what time it is supposed to be in.
I think it's the 1970s.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Could be. I said it's not something that stands out particularly with like, oh, like, you know, some movies are like, oh, it's in the 80s and like it's as 80 as it can be. This didn't feel like that.
Yeah. Well, they didn't push the time period mm-hmm. or like the dates, but mm-hmm. it just really felt like, you know, with the costumes that they had.
Yeah. Okay. No, that's true.
It felt mm-hmm. very 1970s to me.
Yeah. No, that's definitely true.
Yeah. So, yeah, awesome pick. Okay, Rich, what do you have for us?
A couple of things tonight. First of all, there's a Nintendo Direct happening this evening, which is about 11 o'clock UK time, I believe. They've done the thing where they announced it yesterday and went, we're doing a thing tomorrow. So it was a bit short notice, but nevertheless, I have no idea what to expect. But I'm kind of hoping some N64 games might come out and maybe some more Zelda stuff, because I always want more Zelda stuff. And other than that, we'll see. But this is the only other thing that gets me as excited as Apple keynotes is Nintendo Directs. And there's a new one tonight, which I'm excited about. The other thing I'm going to plug is my new podcast, which is the podcast version of my YouTube channel. And so it's called the Early Morning Barking Podcast, where I'm kind of going back over old videos from the beginning and seeing what has changed for me in the year since I made them. So it's kind of
you're barking early in the morning?
I'm doing nothing early in the morning, but on the podcast, I'm basically, yeah, just going looking over old videos and seeing what's changed for me in the year since then. Seeing if anything's gotten any better or worse or whatever. It's a clever way of repurposing old content, basically.
Awesome. Yeah, and yes, it is.
I'll level with awesome. You, but it's available. It's called the Early Morning Barking Podcast, and it's spreaker.com/early morning barking or wherever good podcasts are listed. I don't know, put in a database. So I don't know, whatever. Where you get them from
are
normal podcast places.
Yes. Awesome. Okay. And Muller, what do you have for us?
Well, look, earlier that Rich said he was getting old. And I just wondered if he ever fancied being followed by R2-D2. And R2-D2 could carry his shopping for him home from the shop.
Let me see.
I'm just saying, because
you're into something. Yes. Yes, I would. I would say yes. So, I want, yeah.
You want R2-D2 to follow you home from the shops. I think this
I'd have that. Yeah.
You have no idea how many times I have needed a lightsaber throwing to me. And there's no one there to do that. And you just want a little R2 unit, just ready when I jump up, right, it's throwing it, and I'm ready to go. And this would be perfect.
And this little robot is only $1,850.
Just for everybody listening, Muller just randomly posted a link in the chat room about the two robots, like where you can put groceries in. So,
and they follow you.
It's around. It's two R2-D2s.
Yeah, and that would have been a perfect story from about half an hour ago. Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. That would have been a good story. R2-D2. Like,
that's a mileage out of that one.
I think. Oh my god. I didn't get to do my story.
You did.
You totally did.
It was the Google Map one.
Yeah.
Are you all right?
Polished over it. Anyway, this thing will follow you home from the shops, and it's actually it behaves itself. It learns the protocols of your particular country on the pavement. So it's brilliant.
In contrast to you, I mean, like it behaves in unlike you.
I didn't hear that because it's cutting out.
It's fine.
All right. Okay. My cool thing Yes, this involves one of those subscriptions that you may or may not have. Star Wars Visions on Disney Plus. So this is a collection of Star Wars short stories that were commissioned through all of these different Japanese animation people. And I have, there's what, I think 9 total. And in this, and I watched last night 6 back to back before I finally thought, I really need to go to bed because I have to get up in a few hours for this right here. They're really well done. And like the very first episode, I thought was done so well that if it doesn't win awards, I will feel like there's nothing right in this world. I mean, these are really well done, and they're all different styles, and they're all self-contained stories, and they take place in the Star Wars universe, but so far none of them have involved any Star Wars characters we actually know. It's just other people and in the Star Wars universe, and they all involve Jedi in some way because Star Wars, so of course they do. Yeah, it's really good, and I can't wait to watch the rest of the episodes. They're all like 20 minutes each, so it's not like a super long time commitment to get through each one. And Mahler, do I have to smoke anything to watch these? Is that what you're asking in the chat room?
Oh, they are visions.
And no, I don't. Although I could, or do edibles, because I live in a state where that's completely legal. But no, you can enjoy these without altering your mental state chemically. They're just really good. Okay, so, wow, that turned out to be a long episode, but hey, Atlee was back, so that was to account for it. Also, we've had awesome street noise through the whole show, so I'm going to say that this was our live from the people in the street episode coming from a town near you. So where can we find everyone? Ian, where can we find you?
You can find me, as always, here on the big show most weeks when I remember to click the button that says I'll be here. Sorry, Steve. And otherwise, you can find me on LinkedIn and Facebook. I'm Ian Grant. I'm doing Convault things somewhere or another. If your backups are broken, there's a good chance you'll be calling me. That's what I do. Thank you.
Awesome. All right. Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, usually every week here on the Big Show on a Thursday, the Mix Show on a Friday. Yeah, everything I'm doing, all the social media links, projects, if you want to buy me a coffee, like what we just talked about earlier, like I don't have the Twitter thing yet, I should get that. And I'll link to that on my website at thepatrice.com. But until then, buymeacoffee.com would work. And my podcast is Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com, where I talk to interesting people about their food stories and just everything that goes with that.
Awesome. All right. Rich, where can we find you?
You can find me on YouTube at Early Morning Barking, or the website earlymorningbarking.com, or the Twitter feed at Barking.
Awesome. And word on the street is you have an awesome new podcast, Early Morning Barking. So people check that out too.
Thank you.
Where he barks early in the morning.
Where he barks early in the morning. Yep. Mahler, where can people find you?
You can find me on in the Slack room, or you can find me on mullerbiker.com. And if you want to send me some Bitcoin, feel free.
Right. Let's see. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm Jay Gamut both places. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/JGamut. And now that Apple has released publicly their new operating systems, I better get some more videos up. Mm-hmm. On Tuesdays, Mac Voices Live. And here on Thursdays, The Big Show. Fridays, The Mac Show. And I kind of get around, so I'm on a bunch of other shows as well. So yeah, Google me, I'm easy to find. And Thanks to all of you for being such an awesome panel today. You all rock, and this has been loads of fun. And thanks to everyone that's been in the chat room and chatting with us through the whole show. You are all awesome. And I have hugs for each one of you. And each of those hugs will hold just a little bit too long. So it's only slightly awkward because we can. And for everyone that watches or listens later on, thanks for being part of all of this as well. You are all absolutely awesome, and I love every one of you. Okay, don't forget to come back next Thursday for the big show. Don't forget that tomorrow is the Mac show, so be sure to come back for that. Also, thank you to TSO Hosts for sponsoring us. Thank you to Iman Max for sponsoring us. And go give money so that we can keep the daily news show going, because that would be so, so sad to lose that. Give money, please, please, please. And Batwench says that the hug would never be awkward between us. No, Batwench, it would not be awkward on any level at all. Maybe for those around us, it might be, but not for us. Okay. Thank you to everyone. You are all awesome. And Mueller, no, you can't watch. That's where it would be awkward and creepy. Wow. Okay. And Ewan, we're looking forward to when you can join us again. Oh, we do miss you. And everyone have an awesome weekend.